I've just got like another question to add on that. When you're saying just to forget about it, and you're saying it's like a sign of insecurity. What if they are insecure, and you're just telling them to hide their insecurities?
So then we got to discuss what forgetting about it looks like. How does forgetting about it look like?
I think for you to be hurt, I don't believe that we can get hurt, right? No one can hurt you unless you allow them to hurt you. If you stole $1 million from me, that won't hurt me. I would have to make it hurt me, right? So I think the person needs to detach from people. And I'm not saying they're attached, but what I'm saying is that for them to be hurting about this stuff means that they're attached.
Yeah.
So you sort of have to detach yourself and go, I'm here to better the lives of others. Yeah. It's not about me anymore.
Yeah.
And everything I should do should be for someone else's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just my advice.
So someone in that situation right now, you would tell them to... So what's the process of detachment? Is that forgetting it? But this is the person that has been ghosted. It's almost someone that's disappeared. When they were in need, they were there. The moment they got what they needed, they're gone.
If that's the case, I think you should confront the situation, not in a harmful way, but sit down with the person and say, this is what I'm seeing is going on. Let them speak to you and let them tell you what is going on and why they're doing it, and try to understand them. Because there's always a lot behind. There's a lot behind people's actions.
Yeah. So.
Question. So, like, this person, they succeed physically, with money or whatever, or do they succeed spiritually, and they just went on their own way?
We can't really box what success is, but they're doing better than what they were doing before.
All right.
So let's say, for example, if we're talking about health.
And it was like a genuine thing.
Yeah, if you're talking about health, let's give an example. And this is a scenario that happens in a lot of households, right? You have somebody that is sick, right? And now you have to take time off work to help them recover and look after them and so forth. And you go out of your way.
Yeah.
Now you lose money because you're not working. You're on leave. You're spending everything you have on them.
Yeah.
Now, once they get better, they just disappear on you.
Yeah.
In that sense, a lot of people usually get angry. They get agitated. They question, is there something wrong with me? Was there something wrong with the person?
Yeah.
So somebody in that very situation there, how did they act with that situation? And Cecil mentioned about confrontation, going in and calling the person and confronting them. Earth talked about forgetting them. And just letting them go and just forgetting whatever you did for them.
Yeah.
And whatever the action they did to you.
Because God is my life and Jesus is my Lord and not that person.
Yeah.
Then I would understand that we didn't come here for the righteous, we came here for the sinners.
Yeah.
And if I have helped them enough to do so well that they can stand on their two feet, that's a glory to God for me.
Yeah.
And I guess me and that person, success for me is like them becoming love and then, spreading that on their own.
Yeah.
And not needing anyone anymore.
Yeah.
And that's a very rewarding thing for me if I can help someone to that point in life.
Just
like knowing that we both have that understanding that we're only here for love and we don't need anything or anyone here on this earth, but to just spread that truth, then it's a reward.
It is. That's because you've developed your mind. So if this was a friend that was in that situation, how would you advise them?
So I would ask them to self-reflect on why they did that in the first place. What was their intention and their purpose for giving their time and just investing in them.
Yeah.
You know, because You know, it's like, I might have shared this earlier, but, you know, when you buy someone a present, it's a gift, you're giving. But yeah. I've seen some people where they're like, oh, open it, you know, and if they don't like the present, then they're hurt, you know?
Yeah.
And that person's hurt, and like, you can already see from there that it was the present was for themselves, not for the actual person.
Yeah,
it was for how that person would feel about it, rather than giving, just purely giving. And yeah, so just get them to self-reflect on why they did that in the first place.
And I would like to add on that, because a lot of people, usually when you say self-reflect, they check their motive and they say, I did it for a good cause.
Yeah.
And I hear that all the time. I did it for a good cause. I'm a nice person. I wanted to help the person, but I don't deserve to be treated that way. Then it becomes a problem of respect. And some people feel that like it's a sign of disrespecting them for who they are and what they believe in. In that case, how should they proceed from there? Is confrontation a way to go about it? Is forgetting a way to go about it?
Well, whatever you choose, I just feel like you should rejoice. Just be happy. You know, you did a good thing. Rejoice over that. You know, look where your heart is.
Yeah.
You helped out someone.
Yeah.
Awesome. Who's the next person you're going to help out now?
Yeah.
You know, you love that person. You took care of them.
Yeah.
Who's the next one? Who's the next one?
That's a very good way of summarizing that. Regardless of what you choose to do, to just rejoice, whatever the outcome is.
I just want to touch on the disrespected part.
Yeah, because a lot of people do.
Yeah, and I understand that, but I think I always like to go back to the Bible. Yeah, I do, because when did Jesus ever turn and be like, God, they disrespected me. I'm not healing another one. No, but do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Because they're not your source. They're not your God. So how they treat you, you shouldn't really be impacted, because they're not Lord over your life.
Yeah.
Your source is the God. Your source is God. It's a funny one, because you sort of have to detach while you're surrounded by people.
Yeah.
Right? So people are there. People are asking you questions. People are trying to get your help for things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can't get attached. That's what I've had to learn. Like, you can help everyone. Like, I've helped people and they've left. But it's as long as I've helped them. And like Cody was saying, I rejoice that I could have a small impact on that person's life. And, you know, see a difference in their lives.
This actually happened to me. Like, my uncle gave me, I think it was like $2,000, and I sort of ghosted him.
True.
I sort of ghosted him. True. But like, after a while, he saw me, and he just like, he joked about it. He just was like, where's my money? Blah blah blah. And at the end of it, he just said, nah, I know you pay me back. I know you love me. And like, that was it. And a situation happened where he was actually like away from his family.
Yeah.
And, you know, he couldn't support his family, but it was in my heart to like pay him back.
Yeah.
And I actually gave back the money in a time where where his family really needed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's a very, very good example. We could branch off this question to that very end, and I've seen scenarios where you've given out money to a certain person and said, let me borrow so forth, and that person that you've lended money to is hoping that you forget about it so they don't have to pay you back. In that situation, if you were to see that person face to face, what is the best way to not condemn them but still it's a very tricky one, still manage the situation? Because in that situation, what do you do you educate them about learning to keep to their words? Because if you want to help them, you'd want to educate them a little bit about, about management, about being able to give back and to be truth to their word? Or would you just let them go because you don't want to bother chase about it?
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. Like, how do you do it in a way where you're not, like, nagging the person?
Yeah.
But, yeah, trying to educate them. And I... Because I gave money to my brother.
Yeah.
And I used to just, you know, give it.
Yeah.
But I actually wanted to, you know, loan him some money and this time, like, educate him about his commitment to it.
Yeah.
And he probably didn't give that money back until, you know, maybe a month or so.
Yeah.
Well, maybe longer than that, but... See, like,
someone's counting.
But
damn.
Yeah, I could see, you know, he might have won some money, like, on the pokies or something like that.
Yeah.
But he still didn't.
Yeah, you weren't a priority in his mind.
I mean, like, it did not faze me. It did not faze me at all. I wasn't hurt by it or anything like that. Like, I just wanted him to understand to just be true to your word.
Yeah.
And to, you know, schedule in that, you know, payment. Like, it's like any other bill, you know, like a Telstra bill, you know, your internet bill, you know, you pay it monthly. You pay it monthly, weekly, fortnightly. You always get those bills done.
Yeah.
Okay. What if they don't pay you back? Or what if they don't loan from it?
I would say don't loan something out where it's going to cripple you. Like, you know, be in a position where you could help someone.
You mentioned about loaning someone's money. Don't loan it if it's going to cripple you. And so I asked a question, that word cripple, is it crippling you mentally or financially? How is loaning somebody money crippling the individual that's loaning the money?
I don't think it cripples us, right? Because we understand how much we have, which is in the Word of God.
Yeah.
But it might cripple the other person, because if they don't know how to manage the money...
Yeah.
And I'm giving them money and they're going to drink.
Yeah.
I'm adding to the issue, I believe.
Yeah. So in that sense then, I would like to make this a main question, because we're going to branch off this one and it might actually go for a while. And the question is, when is it okay to lend someone money?
I run a Bible study. Yeah. Someone's first come to this Bible study and is a mess and is in debt. Struggling to find a job and everything, right? But this person, you know, Bob, grew really fast in my Bible study class. Grew really fast. I see Bob's improvement, whatever, rah-rah. And I can see the potential, right? Bob has the mindset of starting a business, right? Bob wants his own ironing company. I make an investment of 3K into Bob's business, but that was only because I saw the growth and I saw that he could manage things and I saw the development. That's when I made the investment. I didn't make the investment when Bob came in not knowing how to manage money. But at the same time, I grew with Bob, so I was there to help Bob to develop those management skills.
Yeah.
That's how I knew when he was ready. To help someone, they've also got to be willing to help themselves.
Yeah.
Then I can say, here's the money, start your business.
You can't give what you don't have.
That's a good start right there. You cannot give what you don't have.
Yeah, because it would have been funny for me to lend people money when I couldn't even pay for my phone bill. Do you know what I mean, though? Like, yeah. It would be ridiculous. It just wouldn't make sense, because what am I teaching the other person? If the person says I'm in debt with Optus and I'm giving them money, they're going to think I'm a fool. Do you know what I'm saying?
But what if lending that money is considered as sowing a seed? Then what? There's quite a number of people that are in debt, not because they choose to be in debt, but because they hang on to money. And so when you hang on to money, and the locust is always going to eat it out. And you find yourself in the worse state than you were before because of your love of money. And to shift that change of love of money and having the detachment, they might decide to start giving more. Because you can be in debt. A lot of people are in debt. Matter of fact, all the houses you see around, every second house and so forth, someone is in debt. And those that are in debt, more money will still keep coming in the bank and it will still be spent recklessly. Now, that person might decide and say, all right, instead of me spending it on drugs, alcohol, or whatever and so forth, or buying a new TV, because they're still going to buy a TV regardless whether they're in debt or not, I'd rather invest it in giving to somebody else. Then that becomes a tricky situation.
I mean, you could budget for giving, you know, what me and my wife do, yeah, we, you know, I receive a pay and we split off, you know, so amount for the bills, savings,
yeah.
And we always split some for giving, and that, just that money right there is strictly just for giving.
Yeah.
And, I mean, sowing a seed doesn't just have to be, you know, money.
Yeah.
Sowing seed could be, you know, your time,
yeah,
your lessons, just, yeah, anything, really. Anything you give.
I would, you know, encourage them to make a plan about,
yeah,
why they want this money.
Yeah.
And, you know, write it all up and literally just commit it to God. And just trust that, you know, well, if you believe in scripture, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So, like, I guess just putting your faith in that, or putting your faith in a scripture where you know that he'll provide, and believing it and, I guess, living it out.
Yeah.
And just knowing that it's already there. You have everything you need in God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that would be my advice.
Going back to the original sub question was all about, is there a criteria when it comes to giving? When do you give? Who do you give to? How do you assess who is eligible for you to give?
Having faith to sowing all the seed.
Yeah.
Because you don't know the details of their life.
Yeah.
It's all, when I give, it's all like grace, really, but grace is like, you gotta have a balance, otherwise like you become a pushover, and
yeah,
if you give too much grace, it kind of like compromise your character.
That's a good point. Compromisational so character.
It's, you have to find that balance between of that person.
Yeah.
But it is tricky if it's someone complete stranger, and that's why you gotta have faith that, like, all right, like, this is me sowing the seed, and have faith in God that he would do that part where you can't see, because you don't know the details of that stranger's life.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
Yeah, I like what you said, because if a stranger does ask you and you're already running through that, you know, that judgment in your mind of like, oh, what's he going to use this on? Where is it going? And then, you know, you're already into the negative thoughts.
Yeah, we've branched up to money and discussing about, it all comes down to the question of giving. Before we were talking about giving time and so forth and effort, now we're talking about giving money, and we're asking, is there a requirement to who to give, when to give it? How do you assess when someone is eligible for you to give?
I think, you know, it's like, you know, when you build your relationship with God and you start to have a very intimate relationship, and he starts revealing more secrets to you, more mysteries to you, and starts trusting you with more things.
Yeah.
So I guess it's kind of like that with money, with other people. Like, you know, you can give little, but when it comes to, like, the big stuff, I guess you'd have to invest your time on each other And you'd have to understand each other's hearts and each other's intentions for what's like the purpose of using this money or what they need it for and stuff. And
so if we were to touch on one of the stuff you said, in understanding the hearts and the purpose and so forth. So does that mean if someone comes to ask for money, we've got to question them on what you're going to do? What are you going to use it on? This and this, so forth. Or is there a better way to approach it? Because not everybody that will ask you is a close person that is is a person that's close to you, that you know inside and out and so forth, and you know the state of their heart and so forth. So in that case, how would you tackle that? Is everybody that asks you, are you going to question their intention or what they're going to do with it?
I think it depends how much, you know, they want. Obviously, if it's little and they say that they want food, they just give it, you know. If they want food, it's little. You know, if it's a big thing, obviously, like, you'd have a chat with them about it and say, hey,
what's up?
You can do a lot of things with this. And
Yeah,
talk to each other, get to know each other. And you can do that in a nice way, you know.
There's also a lot of people there that I've experienced in the past where they want something from you, but they don't want to come together and have all these big chats and so forth. They'll come in and say, Joe, I need so and so forth, two sentences. And then they want you to decide whether you're going to give it or you're going to just palm them off.
It depends if you trust the person or not. Like, but also to just respectfully say that, that this is a big amount and it's not something that you just give away so easily, especially if I don't know where it's going or what you're doing with it.
So you would say those are the kind of the criteria that you'll be looking at before, because we've got to be clear. When it comes to giving out and someone coming to ask for something, is that one of the criteria you'll be looking at? Okay, what's this person's heart looking like? What they're going to do with it and so forth?
I mean, you even say it with banks. They ask you the questions.
Yeah.
You know, they don't just give money out freely, you know. they want to know what you're using this for, you know, how much you're paying back, when you're paying it back. They want to know if you're able to pay it back.
But in humans, especially those of us who say we know God and love God, I've had a couple of people that assume that because we are in that state of love and so forth, we will be more understanding in terms of giving, and not act like the bank to them, and be more relaxed in terms of, I understand where you're coming from, have so and so forth.
God is love, right?
Yeah.
If I give you money,
yeah,
and it's not done out of love,
yeah,
but everything must be done in love. If someone had invested in my business a year ago, what would I have done? Created more debt. How is that person showing me love?
Yeah.
Right? Whereas I need to be taught how to manage money and then be given money. That's love. And I'm not saying that if you give money to someone and they hurt themselves, I'm not saying you did it out of love. I'm just saying, does it bless that other person?
Yeah.
Will me giving the money bless them?
Yeah.
Not bless me, but bless them. Because if they use it for drugs, that doesn't bless them.
So if we to use that those lens to look at the situation, then we would say that we'll go back to what Bernadette was saying about assessing them and being able to sit down and have a chat on if you're wanting this amount, this is the criteria you got to meet. Would that be considered as harsh? Thousands of dollars to churches. Because they feel pressed upon by the Holy Spirit then. And so what about that?
No, because people in church do it out of love. You know, they might love the church and see that the church is loving and that the church will give to the homeless, and they're doing it out of love, which is fine.
Yeah.
But you've got to do it out of love. But then it, not even love for the person, you've got to do it for the, look at the person's circumstances. So will I, if I give this person who's got needles in their hand, right, I'm looking at them and they've got needles in their hand, if I give them money, let's use our common sense here, and are they going to use it for food, or are they going to go and buy something to inject themselves? How is that me showing love to them?
This gets a bit tricky now, because now I gotta assess if it's even a good idea to give to somebody, because I've seen people. Let's say somebody's a drug addict, they're struggling financially, and they need food. They don't have any food at home. Now they ask you for money so they can go and get some food, but you also know that there's a possibility that they might go and get some drugs. Now what?
Then I'd cut out the process of giving them money and I'd just get them food.
Okay.
Like, attend to the need. Attend to the need. Don't give them money and give them that temptation or that, you know, that possibility. Don't give them that thought or that choice. Don't give them that option. Or like, go there, go to the shop. Teach them. Say like, what do you want? Oh, what about this? This is good for the mornings, breakfast, lunch, dinner.
And I love the fact that you guys jumped on that response, because that's the response I was expecting, because there's a situation that I've dealt with where that same thing took place. And the person that was out there helping with food, he kind of got himself into a very dependent situation. Now where the drug addict knows, yo, I can do whatever. When it comes to food, I got a target man now. I can always bump to this person and hit them up, and they'll supply the supplies. and now you become another drug dealer, but not for food. You're a food dealer. You become a food dealer. And I've seen this happen multiple times. So in that case, it becomes tricky now. Do I help you and then say no? Are you even allowed to say no?
Yeah. They must have a desire to want to change. You could pump two people, right? Say there's two people here. There's two people you're pumping out with knowledge and information, right? Number one has a desire for the knowledge and to change. Number two hasn't. And both of them have the same knowledge and same everything, but one of them has desire. You have to want to change. God didn't force anyone to change. People were hungry for change.
So what's the process there? If you know that's the case with a person, you know if you give to them food, they become dependent. You know if you give to them money, they become, they go purchase more drugs. So is the best thing to say is no?
Sometimes love is tough. There's a hard lesson. Sometimes you do have to say no. And it's tough love, but you're teaching them a lesson through that no. But, you know, you have to step back, look at the situation, and manage it.
The process of helping them the first time, teach them to provide, and, in the process of helping them. But if they keep on using and abusing you, then you say no.
I mean, like, look at God, and, you know, they don't receive it.
You have not because you ask not. Because you can obtain anything you want.
That's true.
You can. I'm being good or bad.
Yeah.
You can obtain anything, any scenario you want.
Yeah.
And, but then what Benedict was saying about saying no, but I understand why Cody will say no, because some people may have all that knowledge on how to manage and how to do, but don't apply it.
Yeah.
You could teach someone how to, you know, buy this with my money, do this, budget, but the application, and that's what I mean by that, they need to be wanting to help themselves first.
We're talking about motivations and intentions and stuff like that. And if you give someone because you feel guilty of a what if.
Well, if that's the case, is that even love?
Yeah.
That's guilt.
Is it? Is it love?
No, I was saying that if I don't give, that's when I feel guilty. When I'm giving, I don't feel guilty.
Well, because that's satisfying your guilt. That's the whole deal.
You know, I would say no. If I find myself being guilty for giving, then I would say no because I'm not giving in love.
So just like people are addicted to drugs and so forth, other people are addicted to giving.
I'm not addicted to giving, but like...
And it could go back to what Bernadette was saying. You're giving for yourself, so you feel good about it yourself. Could that be the case?
Then I wouldn't give. I wouldn't give. If I was giving to make myself feel better, I wouldn't give.
Then you would say no?
I'd say no. If I was giving to make myself feel better, I'd say no.
But what if that person needed help?
It's not in love. Then imagine how more guilty I feel if I give and it's not in love and then I'm giving in guilt.
I think the important thing is to become aware of that. Become aware of why you're giving.
Who you're giving.
Yeah, who you're giving it to. Yeah, just become more aware.
And you know, a lot of people chase Jesus. And these people were in need. They needed miracles. They chased Jesus for miracles. And he ran away. Why? Why he ran away? There's a scripture, and I can find it for you guys, where people ran after Jesus to get miracles. And Jesus ran away. He ran away from the masses. He didn't want to perform miracles. Why?
He disappeared.
Why did he run away from helping people? Why would someone that seems to have it all together run away from helping people?
Bro. Jesus went away from the crowds.
Flee. He ran away.
Yeah.
He's gone.
But yeah, going back to that point. Where is heaven? Within us. Jesus came to teach us that everything that we need is in us.
Yeah.
There's a verse that says there'll be always poor among you. Poverty is not, you're not poor because you lack something. You're poor because it's the mentality.
All right.
It's an inability to create. That's what poverty is. And I realize that too.
Mm.
But then again, people have to want to help themselves.
So what would be the first process? The first process would be help them the first time. You can tell somebody, your problem is mental. Come, let me help you first. Let me help you get your life together.
You'd say...
Sometimes I've been direct and I've said it to people directly. No. And someone's come up to me and said, Joe, this is... And they've gone around the circle. And I've been able to just shoot straight forward. And I shoot straight forward and I tell them straight away, bro, leave that. That's not your problem. This is your problem here. We've got to focus on that.
You see, there's some people like who are sensitive. That's all like... Because I don't want to start trouble with this person. You know, some people might lash out and be like, you're meant to be helping me. You're meant to be a Christian. That's what
you're
I don't...
You're meant to be.
Yeah. People are like that all the time. And I don't want to get to that point. So what I would do with the person, I'll try and understand them, how they operate.
I don't want to cut you, but that hit me, that sentence, you're meant to be a Christian. So in that case, is somebody inflicting guilt on you by using God?
Yeah, I've seen it's happened to me all the time. People have said to me, you're meant to be a Christian,
and
when I've said no to things.
And so that's a way of inflicting guilt. It's like, do this for me because you're meant to be this. You call yourself this, do this. If you're the Son of God, turn this bread into stone. If you're this, do that. Throw yourself off so the angels can catch you. Does that remind you of something?
Yep. And well, it won't impact you unless you allow it to affect you. So that's when I say no.
And
so I don't feel guilty.
If you didn't catch it, I was quoting the Jesus' temptations.
Yes, sir.
going back to what we were talking about before, then if that's the case, what's the limit then? Is there a limit to how much you can let yourself be pushed over? Is there a limit?
Yes, there is, because Jesus didn't fly off the cliff, did he? He could have happily saved himself, and just like I can happily give,
yeah.
But do I do it? Did Jesus jump off the cliff?
Yeah.
The death, different intentions.
Yeah.
Different purpose.
Yeah.
What is the purpose? Why are you doing it? Jesus died to actually better us.
Yeah.
We need to do it. If I give this person money, how is it going to better them? Or is it going to send them off into a different path?
I think I can go back to that grace thing.
Yeah.
The finding that balance.
Yeah.
And there's I call it CPR.
Yeah.
C stands for content,
yeah.
P for pattern,
yeah.
R for relationship.
Yeah.
C, content, is issue that came up that need to be addressed.
Yeah.
And then pattern, if the issue keeps happening, have to have a straight up talk.
Yeah.
And then relationship is what's happening now has an impact on the relationship between you and that person.
Oh, wow.
And maybe have to withdraw from that person.
That's a very interesting thing. Can you repeat that? We might actually have it. CPR.
So C stands for content.
Yeah.
P for pattern.
Yeah.
And R for relationship.
Yeah.
CPR. So content is issue that came up that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
Pattern, issue keeps happening and have to have a straight up talk about the issue. And relationship is the issue is now impacting the relationship between that two person.
Yeah.
And maybe have to withdraw from that person.
Yeah.
Like A to B.
So how's the application of CPR happen? Give us a scenario.
For with my friend, like I can keep saying yes to helping with giving him the money.
Yeah.
Even though he pays me back and stuff, but if he's not learning about his management, like if I do not say, look, bro, like. You have a bad, address the problem to him, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you have a bad spending problem, and this is where it goes wrong for you. If I don't address that, it'll keep happening. So, if I do my part in saying, like, help him to understand what's happening with his money situation, then it'll be up to him to do something about it because I can't control his free will.
I can
help him, but I can't actually help him to get him to.
Yeah, they have to be wanting to.
Yeah, they want to. Make that change for themselves.
Yeah, and so this CPR is like a analysis kind of pattern. I can understand from it. So what's the content part? The content part is the situation.
Like
is it?
Yeah, the content is the problem that came up.
That came up.
The pattern is the problem keeps occurring.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And the R is like, all right, this problem
could
is now
relationship.
Affecting me.
Yeah.
Now I have to withdraw from it because you're catching maybe like. Negative energy and it's interrupting your purpose and stuff like that. You have your own bills and stuff that you need to take care of with other people like your family and you're willing to help this person but they're not willing to help themselves. Now it's impacting you which can lead to your other people that's you connected with, which is like let's say your family.
You know, as long as we are in this flesh, we'll still continuously will be impacted. That's the idea of constantly surrendering, washing, getting, deleting, is because as you progressively grow, you figure out loopholes in your character. You figure out loopholes in insecurities.
Yeah, that's
And what I mean is, for you to figure it out, you must react to it. That is why it's a problem. If you didn't react to it, it's not a problem. It's not something to be fixed. Everything that becomes a problem can only be discovered once it occurs. See, it's like saying, we have a problem and nothing ever happened. No, something must happen for you to say, oh, that's a problem. I gotta fix it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that's okay, but... You can't, it won't impact you in the way where you're going. So if someone asks for money, right?
Yeah.
If I've got bills to pay, I'd say no. That doesn't impact me.
I'm trying
to get where the impact thing comes in because
I just say no. Yeah.
I think I know what you're trying to say is you have that power to overcome always, constantly overcome and always grow, continue to grow and expand.
And I love the word you use, overcome. So something came and you got to go over it.
Yeah, but like it's not, it's like when you say impact, it's not negative either.
I see what you're saying.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
100%.
Because that person asking me for money isn't impacting me. I'll just say no.
Yeah. I think the word impact is, if you think about the word impact, is like something coming in collision. And that happens in our life all the time. Thoughts will come into different collision with thoughts and so forth. I think the word we're looking for is effect. See, you might go in a collision with a certain thought or a certain situation, but you don't let it affect you, or you don't let it reign in you, and you don't let it have dominion on you. So the impact happens, the confrontation happens, the collision happens, but the side effects, we don't have that side effects. We're not affected directly by it. If you get what I think that's what you're trying to say. It doesn't affect you, even though something comes to your vision, comes to your sight, comes to your presence, that might be negative or positive, but you won't let that affect you.
Yeah.
Cool. I actually love that CPR, and I would love to dedicate even a question to that CPR to really tap deep into it, because it's that process is a very important recovery process, understanding that content of the situation, the problem, and the pattern to that problem, and we might actually break deep into this, because that pattern could be the difference between giving and not giving. We talked about whether there was a criteria in terms of when to give and when not to give, and I think Earth really landed us on a jackpot. This pattern is going to be a decider. Whether we can see a pattern in the person is going to be key now, whether we know how to give or if not to give. And that pattern, depending on what the pattern is, we can see, okay, this pattern here is minor, so it won't have great impact on relationship. And this pattern here is major. Because if you're giving someone with a big, huge issue, and you're lending them a certain amount of money, let's say 5K or so forth, and this person start running away from you and so forth, and this was someone that was in close relationship, because I've seen a lot of problems in families, and families break down because of lending each other money and so forth. And even people start a business with their own family members. That has broken a lot of things down. There's a pattern that was in the other person's character, but because that person was a family member, you allowed them to still be in where you should have said no out of love to begin with. But it's hard to say no because it's a family member. And this will be stuff we'll actually extend on next week. Thank you.
If you enjoy our content, thank you. If you want more, you can follow us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TikTok. Head out to our website to find out about what we're doing up next at realitycreationtv.com. If you love the work that you do and you want to support us, you can support us through Patreon, Subscribestar, Crypto, all links in the description. I'm Joel Benisha from Reality Creation. Peace out.